I was ready for one more song. I wasn't ready to come up here yet. You know, when Pastor David does these series, he always brings me in and we talk and we talk about the things that that we're going to cover in that. And he always says, "Do you have a favorite part in this book that we're getting ready to tackle?" And he always gives me my choice, which I really like, because you know, there's just certain things that you hang on to in life. And the part of scripture that we're going to go to today in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 talks about one of my most favorite things. And you know, it's one of those things in life that we all need, which is forgiveness. And, you know, I was reading this week and I come across this, a person was interviewing Woody Allen, who is a film director and an actor. And, Woody Allen was asked the question, if there is a God, and if that God should speak to you, what would you want him to say? And Woody Allen said, if there is a God, I would want him to say just three words. You are forgiven. Woody Allen is an atheist. But think about how close Woody Allen really is to the fact that he knows that he needs forgiveness if there's a God. You know, John, in this letter, will make it very clear to us, especially today, that the only way that you can hear those words, that you are forgiven, is to say, I am a sinner. Or I have sinned. Because every one of us, the Bible says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, not one. There's only one righteous person that ever has walked the face of this earth. And we're gonna hear John speak to him. John, repeat what he said to John today. As Brother David preached last week, you know, to be legit, and that's the what we're talking about, we have to know that we have sinned. So let's read today in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Jump over to chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you give us. I thank you for the opportunities, Father, that you have given us. I thank you, Father, that Jesus was willing, because of his love for us, to come down to earth and to shed his blood for us, Father. I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct today. I pray for the ones that's hearing these words, Father, that we would just remember, Father God, as John was an old man writing to the churches, Father, the people that some people that he had met, some people that he had never met, but Father, there was going to be people there to tell them who John was, and Father, just the excitement from hearing from John. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that as we look at this message, Father God, that John was delivering, Father, that we would take it into our hearts and into our lives, Father God, and that we would know that Jesus is always with us, and he's never disappointed with us because he died on the cross for our sins. But with confession, Father, it brings fellowship. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct my words today. And Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me. And Father, that you would just preach through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says in that first verse there that we read, he says, this is the message we have heard from him. You know, from him. And I told David, I said, I'd always read this letter, and I never really concentrated on the fact that him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that spoke these words. And now you will never find in the red ink of the Gospels or anywhere else in the Bible that where Jesus said that God is light. There's lots of references to that we can look at, but John, it may be just wrapping things up, or he may be paraphrasing, but he says this, that Jesus said it. You know, there's all kinds of things in Scripture that our precious writers of the Bible couldn't write down. Matter of fact, if you go to John chapter 21, it tells you that there's more things in there that no books in the world could hold it if they wrote everything down. So, you know, I think probably that's it, that John heard this right out of Jesus' mouth. And, you know, that God is light. Now think about light. As we look at light, and thank God for light, I'm going blind at 51 years old. I really do believe that. Carol looked at my notes today and said, how in the world can you even see that? But listen to me. If the light's wrong, then I won't see it. Okay? But he says God is light. There is absolutely no shade, speck, or stain, or moral imperfection in Jesus Christ. There is no fault or failure or falsehood in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's never done anything wrong. He will never do anything wrong. And he's morally pure, and he will always be that way. That's who Jesus Christ is. When you look at the sun, you cannot see the defects, the dark spots in the sun. But if you look at through a microscope, you can see all kinds of things. The same thing with the moon. When you think about the moon and how it reflects the light, we can see it. Because it's not near as bright as the sun, we can look at it and see the imperfections. Folks, I'm telling you, me and you have imperfections. But the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay, I want to give you three things in this outline. We, you know, God is light and our life. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have life. But God is the light that brings us to him. We are called out of the darkness into the light. 1 Peter says this, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am so thankful that we get to proclaim the praises that he has done for us. Verse 10 says this, you are not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that applies to everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every one of us is called out of the darkness into the light. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's how far it goes. You know, and as John's writing this letter, he's writing to believers. I want you to understand that. He's writing to people who are Christians, what we would call Christians today, what we would call disciples today. So just think about the fact that he's writing this to them, okay? Because sometimes we look at this and we think, I confessed my sins long ago and I don't need to do that anymore. That's not what the Bible says, okay? But you were called out of the darkness into the light. And then we are children of the light. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. So if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, if you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you've asked for forgiveness and invited him into your heart, you are God's sons and daughters. That's where you stand right now if you've done that, if you know that you have a spiritual birthday. Okay? We celebrate the wrong birthday. I'm sorry. I don't like celebrating my birthdays anymore because I'm 51 and I'm over the hill. And, you know, I'm cresting, and David's even older than I am. I'm so thankful for that. But you know what? As we crest that hill, but seriously, guys, how long have you been a Christian? Do you remember when you got saved? I don't remember the day. I don't remember the month. I remember the season. It was fall. But I was saved at our fall revival. But you've got to have a spiritual birthday. I wish I knew. And I could probably look. Matter of fact, I've got the first Bible my mom ever got me. Okay? But she didn't write it in there. I don't know if she got it after or before. But it don't matter. Because I know I'm saved. You've got to know. I can't tell you. You've got to know. But there's got to be a beginning point, okay? But that's where you stand. We are children of light. And all of us that are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. But verse 15, I couldn't leave this out. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I can remember the first time one of the first times I went to Promise Keeper, it was either the first or second time. First time we went to Columbia, the second time we went to Kansas City. But the first time I seen Joe White speak, and I looked Joe White up this week, and he's still alive, still kicking. And but I can remember his prayer as he walked into that stadium that day, and he was dragging a great big carrying that cross, and as he began to pray, he began to cry out to his daddy. And I'd never heard anybody pray like that. Matter of fact, I thought about my grandpa. And I thought, my grandpa would probably get up and leave right now if he heard this guy praying. The way it's, because he was just talking to God like he was right there. And he was just pouring his heart out to him as if he really, really cared. And the reverence was there, but it was different than I'd ever heard anybody pray before. And as he prayed that prayer, I thought, wow. If I could just have that relationship with God, and that he has. And Joe's a faithful servant to the Lord. He serves down at Branson, and I can't never say that the camp's name, and I'm not even going to try because it'd just mess it all up. But I want you to think about that. When we are believers, we did not receive a spirit of fear, but we were adopted. And that's the reason Joe could pray that prayer that way. I'm adopted. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're adopted. That's who you are. You're related to Jesus. As we get closer to the light, we will sin less. And I truly believe that, guys, with all my heart. If we are pursuing Christ, we will sin less and less and less as we go through our lives. We become more and more and more aware of what's going on in our heart and in our lives. But as believers, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, and we can see it in the disciples' lives, okay? We tend to try to cover our sin, which is our second bullet point. Look at verse 6 with me. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are practicing the truth. And are not practicing the truth. Think about that. If we say one thing and do another, then we're lying to other people. And that can break your fellowship with God. It won't break your sonship. If you're a son or daughter of God, then you are a son or a daughter of God. But you know what it's like to break your fellowship with your parents. I've done that so many times in my life. I swear my dad never did trust me with certain things in his life. Because he was afraid of what I might do with them. Okay? I can remember just a short story. Okay? But I rebuilt a vehicle one time. And he bought the motor for it, gave it to me, blah, blah, blah. We were supposed to just fix it. But we ended up redoing it. We went behind his back because I was paying the bill. And the guy was helping me own the garage. And I was working for the guy that owned the garage. And he gave me credit. First time I ever had credit in my life. And we tore it all apart. And when Dad came in, he was so mad at Joe. What are you doing? But you know what? When I got that motor done, even though I had built it, even though it was my truck, even though it was a gift to me, you know who the first person that drove it? My dad. He laid the first coolest black marks you ever saw coming out of Joe Gidden's driveway. I couldn't even drive my own vehicle. I was just 16, so, you know, he had the right. But, guys, I'm telling you, God has given you His Spirit. And we can say one thing and do another. And I've seen that example over and over and over again in my dad. I have done it. You know, Lanny Witt always says, I molded my son for life because he does things just like I do them. When we try out a vehicle, we really try them out. You know, take it four-wheeling, make sure everything works. So don't tell the car dealerships, okay? So, but if we say one thing and we do another, okay, we can break our fellowship with God. In verse 8, it says that we continue to walk away from the light when we minimize and lie to ourselves. You ever done that? You ever lied to yourself? Look at verse 8 with me. Yet, I am writing a new... that's in 2. Go back up to the 1. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, if we begin to say that, well, that's not really a big deal to God. Guys, every sin's a big deal to God. Especially when you're His children. Every sin. I want you to keep it in mind that John is talking to believers. He's talking to people who have believed. And he's given them direction. But there was people there saying that you reached a point to where it was sinless perfection. You didn't need to worry about it. Or as Paul in Romans 6 wrote, do we sin all the more because that will make grace abound? He said, God forbid. Guys, I'm telling you, as we go through this life, we need to be more aware of where we're at with God. You know, and we got hills and valleys because Satan leads us through temptations and things going on in our lives. It even gets darker still when we know the word, what God's Word says, and apply it to others and not to ourselves. As I looked at my life, there's been lots of times that I looked at somebody else's sin and what they were doing and said, they're going to be judged. God's not happy with them. Guys, if you've got one finger pointing at them, you've got three pointing at you. And every one of you need to realize that God's looking at you. I'm not saying you can't help people. I'm not saying you can't hold people accountable. But what I am saying, if you act better than them, then you've got a problem. And your fellowship with God probably isn't what it ought to be. Because you're looking at their sin and not your own. Proverbs 28:13 says this, the one who conceals his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Okay? I'm going to read that one more time. The one who conceals his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. There's always tares among the wheat in God's church right now. There's always people who aren't truly believers. They've come to church all their life, but they've never turned to God and followed. You know, I think about Judas. How in the world could that guy walk with Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How could he walk with Jesus for 3.5 years and never, ever accept him as his Savior? He acted the part. Not, the other 11 didn't know that he was there. I'll probably have to come back to that. But I want you to think about that. And we're not responsible for those people. We're responsible for ourselves. So, confessing our sins. Look at 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, as He Himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that interesting that He don't say that you'll have better fellowship with God? Because that's already assumed. If you're going to walk in the light, you're going to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to just be focused on Him. You know, that's what we try to do in our worship. And I love the songs that we sang today because it's the fact that who Jesus Christ truly is and the fact that what He has done for us and what He is going to do for us and the promises that we can proclaim because of Him. But if we walk in the light as He Himself in the light, we will have fellowship. It's just like Pastor David said last week. We can have not very many things in common. But if we have Jesus in common, I have all things in common with you. Because we ought to be focused on those things. Jesus' blood does not just cleanse you on the day you ask Him to be your Savior, but every day that you live and become more like Him. See, that's the whole goal of being a Christian is to become more like Jesus Christ every day of your life. And some days are a total failure in our eyes. But just think about how God sees you. He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Confession of sin is all the way through the Bible. It starts in Genesis and goes all the way through. And I thought Norm was going to shoot me when I handed him my paper today because of all the scriptures that I have in this passage. But in Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah said this. This is Isaiah talking. Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Think about that. Isaiah saw God in the temple, and that was his response. He said, I'm in trouble. You and I, we are not in trouble. You know, Isaiah wasn't in trouble because an angel took a coal from the altar and he took it and he flew down and he touched Isaiah's lips and made Isaiah right with God. You and I have to depend upon Jesus Christ. We have to confess our sins to God. We have to realize that we are sinners. Daniel 9:20 says this, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my petitions before Yahweh, my God, concerning the holy mountain of God. You see that he was speaking and praying and confessing his sin and the sins of his nation. Think about the sins of America today. How many times do I pray about the sins that Americans as a whole commit? Think about how many babies we have murdered over the past, 50 years? 60 years? Think about how we hold the Bible. It used to be a book, probably is still the best-selling book, but do we really read it? Do we really take it as God's Word? Psalms 51:1-2 says this, and this is David talking, he says, be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt. Cleanse me from my sin. Do you see? And this is when David had sinned with Bathsheba. This is his prayer. This is the prayer that reinstated him to a right relationship, fellowship with God. This is how he got back to where he needed to be. But he had people there to help him find the way. Nathan the prophet was there to help him and told him a story. And that story made him pronounce judgment on that man. And then when Nathan said, you are the man, David ended up praying this prayer. I don't know how long after, but he prayed that prayer. You and I need to confess our sins to God. That David was a man after God's own heart, and he still needed to confess his sin. Luke 5:8, and I love this picture. This says this, when Simon Peter saw, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord. You know, Peter and they were fishermen, and they were sitting in their boats, they was cleaning their nets, and Jesus was teaching the crowds, and He pushed out from the into the sea just a little ways to teach. And he sat there, and Jesus sat there and taught, and Peter cleaned his nets, and Jesus said, "Let down your nets for a catch." And Peter says, "Upon your command, Lord." They had fished all night, hadn't caught anything, but they had so many fish that their nets was ripping. And Peter said that, those words. He said, when Simon Peter saw what he saw, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man." But guys, we have the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins. When God the Father looks at you and I, He sees our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we can know that He's going to accept us, because our sins do not break our sonship. It just breaks our fellowship. And when we confess our sins, we can have that fellowship with Jesus Christ once again. And it's the most important thing for you and I to be close, to walk in the light. Martin Luther, and I couldn't get away from this. Martin Luther says, "When a Christian sins, the devil always alarms his heart and makes him tremble. Look at you," he scowls. "Now you've blown it." And I don't know how many times I've thought that in my life. I don't know how many times I've thought that God will never have anything to do with me ever again. Satan wants you to sink into the sin of despair, because that's a sin as well. To sink into the sin of despair, not giving God the credit for what He's already taken care of in your life. And we can do that. And I've done that. And I've been there. Martin Luther also said that Satan will allow some people to live good lives without temptations, where they don't think that there's any need to turn to Jesus for Him to forgive you, for Him to forgive them of their sins. And I believe that's true as well. And both are wrong. Don't think that God won't forgive you. There's nothing on this side of heaven that you cannot get forgiveness for, or on this side of eternal life. It's kind of like a little boy. His mother got him all ready for church, had his Sunday best on, and told him to stay in the house because it had rained the night before. She didn't want him getting dirty. But he snuck outside, went ahead and went outside to play. And sure enough, just a little while, he fell in a mud hole and got his Sunday best just as dirty as they could be. He went into the house apologizing and telling her how sorry he was. You know, and she gathered him up, told him it was okay. She didn't kick him out of the family. She didn't do that. She didn't even make him go to church with the muddy clothes. She changed him. Guys, and that's what God wants to do for us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sins of thoughts, sins of attitude, sins of action. Maybe you took it all the way. Maybe you thought about it. You thought about the actions and you done them. And then you carried it out. Don't matter, God. David got forgiveness. And if he's a man after God's own heart, that ought to encourage you. He was an adulterer, a murderer, and a liar at heart. And you and I can have the same forgiveness. So, conquering our sins. We're going to jump over to verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Now I want to take you back for just a minute to 1:7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light. So how do we do that? How do we walk in the light? To walk in the light means to be honest with God, with ourselves, and with others. Okay, that's the reason you have a body of Christ. It means that when the light reveals our sin, we immediately confess it to God, claim His forgiveness, and if our sin injures another person, we ask for them to forgive us too. Sins that are private ought to stay private. Sins that are public, you have to go public. I believe that with all my heart. I don't have to tell you all my dirty deeds. I don't. That's between me and the Lord. But if it involves you, then you need to know that I am sorry for my sin, that I know I have sinned against you. Psalms 119:105 says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." Guys, if we will read God's word, we will have, our conscience will be on steroids, I like to say. Because the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to show you your sin. And if you feed the Holy Spirit, the word of God, then you're going to become even more aware. Look at what 2 verse 1 says. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. "My little children," and I love that. Don't you know even at 51 that we like to be called little children? "I am writing you these things so that you may not sin." See, it's a choice. Just like Adam and Eve had a choice, you've got a choice. You know in your heart of hearts what's right, what's wrong. God spells it out for us. But we make that choice. Okay? "That you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He himself is our atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world." See, you have a promise right here that says anything that you've done, he's going to take care of it. You have him there pleading your case for you. That's the reason we've got to have Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Without him, there is nothing between us and God. Without Jesus Christ, he's our atoning sacrifice. He's the one that took the punishment for your sin, for yours and the whole world. See, that's the whole thing. There you go right there. We can have an evangelistic sermon just because of that. Because we know the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's up to us to tell the world about that forgiveness. It reminds me of John 3:16, where, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God created you for you to live with him, and everybody that you know to live with him, but they've got to come through Jesus Christ. They've got to confess their sins. You could go to church every Sunday that the doors are open all of your life, and that's not going to be enough. You could do all the good works that the church does, and even tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm sure Judas told people that the kingdom of God was coming, but he didn't believe it himself. There's people standing in our pulpits. There's people living life, like living a good life, moral life, that's going to miss heaven because they will not confess their sins to God. But he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Not only mine, not only yours, but for the sins of the whole world. And you and I are supposed to take it and go. Because you will reach more people than I can. You can introduce me to them. I don't care to tell them about Jesus, but it'd be a whole lot more effective if you do it yourself. So don't be afraid to confess your sin to God. People in the Bible, all the way through, done it. I didn't even scratch the surface of the things that I read this week of men crying out to God because of their sin, and renewing that relationship with God. Not that if you're a born again believer in Jesus Christ, you are a son. Let me emphasize that, because I didn't used to believe that. I think you all know that, or for the most part, most people know that about me. I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that God wouldn't throw me away. It took until my late 20s and being married to a good Southern Baptist wife that convinced me. Okay, we argued. I mean, we almost had knockdown dragouts over eternal security. No, I'm just kidding. Not physical, but verbal stuff. I mean, I was convinced that if you sinned, you could sin enough that God'd throw you away, and that's not true. But you break fellowship with God. And because I couldn't feel him, I didn't believe his promises. But God don't take back his promises, folks. Church, let me tell you, once he said it, it's the way it is. And we've just got to believe it. And Satan will try to tell you over and over and over again that he won't forgive you, but he will. He will. As our praise team comes up and sings, it's ready to close our service today, I want you to just evaluate your life. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that we ought to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really confessed your sins to God. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that He died on the cross. But folks, I'm telling you, I truly believe that if you do not confess your sin and turn away from your sin, you know, and do a 180 and walk toward Christ. You know, some people want to do just a 33-degree thing. They just want to do, you know, this and not go all the way around and start walking the other way. They still want part of the fun. But I'm telling you, I'm having the time of my life, and I have to confess daily, and I've got wrong attitudes and wrong thoughts. And thankfully, I've lived as a Christian long enough that I get most of my things stopped at the attitude phase, and the Lord yelling at me and screaming at me and telling me to stop doing what I'm doing. But if you're here today, maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, you know, then that's something that we need to do. That's something that every one of us, that Christ wants us to do. If we've been born again and asked Jesus into heart, then we need to be baptized. So, I don't know where you stand. Maybe you've never began a relationship with Christ. Maybe you need to take another step in that direction of being obedient to baptism. Maybe you're just out of fellowship with God, and you just need to confess your sins. Would you join me in prayer today? Father, I just pray for each one that is here as they examine their hearts and their lives. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would just help them, and Father, that they would be obedient to you, to your Holy Spirit. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I just pray that they would just come to you. And Father, that they would just tell you that they need you. And Father, that they're a sinner. Maybe they need to name their sins to you openly, Father God. But basically, they just need to say that I am a sinner. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that they believe that and they accept the gift that you have given. And Father, that they will become a son or a daughter today. Father, I just pray that if they say that prayer, Father God, I pray that you would just give them boldness to come and tell Pastor David or myself or one of the deacons. Father, I just pray that they would confess it. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And Lord, I just pray that they would confess that openly. Father, I pray if there's one here that just needs to renew that fellowship with you, that they would do that today, just at their pew. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just lead and guide them, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you would have your way with each heart, mind, and soul that's present today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.